We have the mysterious parsha of Vayibin Seir Harung, which is kind of a very strange parsha in the Torah, separated by two nuns, etc. And Rabbeinu Bechaya will give us a little bit of insight into what it's all about. He says, Valderech Kabbalah, Vayibin Seir Harung, Parsha Zuro Mezes Al Kol Yimei Olam, Kinir Shemu Bashivas Alafim Vayipasik Rishon. So the pasuk over here, he says, is really the two pesukim are a reference to the entire scope of the cycle of 6,000 years that the world is active, or 1,000 years that the world becomes inactive. The inyan hazeh wrote to lirmoz also b'makom ha-midbar. The place where this is going to be, where the remez is, and like always, whenever the Torah gives us some remez, some hint, some clue, it's obviously in the context that one would expect it. So in the world is divided between Mokom Yishuv, a place where it's inhabited, the land is cultivated, there is human activity, and places that are sort of desolate, and that is something like, that's the Midbar. So the Midbar represents desolation, and the Mokom Yishuv represents work and so on and so forth. The context of it is that, let's try to understand the deeper pshat. This 6,000, 7,000, it means that the world, for us, human activity is the natural default setting of the world. That's what the world is about. People living, people, animals, doing, acting, etc. For things to cease, we would see that as some sort of tremendous reversal of the natural order. But the truth is, the world started at some point. In other words, way before there was a world, there wasn't a world. A natural setting of a world in the eyes of someone who believes is non-existence. And hence the 6,000 years brings you sort of full circle back to a situation where it's charev. But this is what he wants to lead us on in the Makom HaMidbar. Shumakam achurban vashimamon. It's the place of churban shimamon. It's a place of desolation. Vekivus haTorah kula bnuya musar zechidus haolam. Since Torah is built on chidus haolam, that the world is a created world, yesh lahavin sheyesh sof. It must have an end to it. Ki chol davar shesh haschol yesh sof echreach. So he's positing the following point. If something has a beginning, then it has an end. Because if something did not exist at some point, that means it needs certain conditions for its existence. It means that it has a certain purpose why it came to existence. So let's take an example. Let's say a person... a person never ever was a living being without a heart. So the heart is going to be part of the person as long as he's living, and when there's no heart, there's no life, no life, no heart. But let's say you take a person's clothing, he's born without clothing, so that means that at some point he'll not have clothing again. It's something that is by its nature not an absolute, absolutely necessary, and therefore it will cease to exist. This is what the pasuk means, Ani Rishon Vani Achron. I am first, I am last, meaning because the Kadosh Baruch Hu was first, that's why he's last. Because of the Yorah Ka'olam Yesh Sof, Kishem Shehoya HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rishon Evron Kulam, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the Rishon Evron, Kenotet Shia Achron Kulam, he's going to be the Achron. V'li Yishor Ba'olam Shum Nivro Lo Yehu Achron. That the world would have somebody left eternal, then God is not achron. But David beerzev amar. David says it in the pasuk. Lifanim haaretz yisadata. You were the one who once upon a time founded the earth. Umaisi adecha shemayim hema yevedu. And all of your umaisi adecha shemayim and your handiwork is the heavens. Hema yevedu. They're all going to become destroyed. Va'ata tamod. And you are going to remain forever. The kulam kabeg yibolu, they're all going to disintegrate like a garment. Kilavush tachlife, you're going to change them like one changes a garment. Viachlofu. In other words, the person will anything that is garment, meaning it's not inherent to the atzmius, is going to change. That which had a beginning has to have an end. Va'oisal v'shisha shumilas alfei lirmo shisa alfei v'ashviyis nechtemo b'milas Yisrael. In other words, rivals alfei Yisrael in the word alfei, he is merames the sheshes alfei. And then he says, "Vashviyas nechtma milas Yisrael." And the word Yisrael, that's where you have Yisrael nirmas. Upirish Yisrael bekan hasaras hakochos ki hefsikam shechosam ba'olso zman hu ha'elef hashvi shalav ama bechad charev. So Yisrael means in the way he is explaining it. That there is the Klal Yisrael. It says Bereishis Bara Elokim B'shul Yisrael Nivra. The same way Klal Yisrael is the end point of the world, and that's merumis in the word Yisrael. The Kafsar Shalzvay says Man Hu Elof Hashviyis Olvam Chabchar V'Chei Motzina Kosev B'shuri Mehem Sin makom samach v'lo hasar bito. So the Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar is teaching Yisrael by exchanging the sin for a samach, which is, he shows you in Hosea, it's exchanged. Basuri mehem, with a sin, means when I leave them. So to Yisrael, if you had to put in a samach, so it's sort of Yosar Kael, HaKadosh Baruch who leaves. And you find it actually a lot, especially Soita and Soita, with a sin and a Samach. It's especially true like in the Gemara, which doesn't have any Nikud, but the sin and Samach are interchangeable, and therefore Yisrael means HaKadosh Baruch who's stopping. Now he says, Bavur kimilas Yisrael kolos dover vifucho. Ve'efshes pasher l'shoynes. Yisrael means two things. It's miloshen srora, ki sarisa imelakim. The word sar with a sin means power, like a sar, and sarisa means you've vanquished, overcome. And Yisrael can also be read like a samach, meaning letting go and so on. Yisrael contains in itself both aspects. Bavur kimilas Yisrael kolos dover vifucho. The Eshes et Tispar shal shtei lashonos. Efshel lomar ki keshem shemor lachurban kein tora labria shalach hachurban. It will also point at the bria after the churban. Ku kolos sroros hakochos, because it includes in itself power, existence, etc. The remez lecha, it's a remez. Ki acha churban ha'elof ha'shvi, ve'acha bitla koiches v'aser osam, tachza asrar d'schad shpoilim shahaya. After the 7,000th, when everything else is bottled, we will have once again the establishment of Yisrael as a koyach. I want to explain this a little bit. Let's take an example. Let's say a person is building a building. And the person is then takes, the person has all sorts of scaffolding support in place while he's building a building. So you have all these boards and everything and so on and so forth while the building is going up. The next thing you do is, when it's finished, the first thing you note is the scaffolding being removed, and then you notice, and then the building is used. In other words, there's a process of getting rid of all of the temporary needs on the temporary structures, and when that's rid, you're left with the essence. When a person is purifying gold or something, so again, you have a destructive process where you wear away at all of the slag and all of the etc's, and then the gold surfaces. Shabbos comes, you have, the first thing you have is cessation of work, and then you have the emergence of Shabbos. Shabbos as a positive entity emerges from the extinguishing of all the work. So the cessation of that which was there temporarily, that which was there just by for some sort of stage of necessity, has to cease in order for the Ikkar to come out. So at the 7,000th year, whatever that is, the cessation of the world's natural order and so on is the prerequisite for the emergence of a world of Shabbos. So Klal Yisrael includes in itself both the hasara of everything that's there before and the srara of Klal Yisrael as such. It says in the pasuk in Tilchot Aleph, which describes Hashem Aratzim Loyal Tel Yeshuva, it says Al Nehoros Yichoneneha, and He will establish it on rivers. It doesn't use the past. Because the Mizmer is talking about the point where the world will cease to exist and the world will re-emerge. So in other words, in Mizmer Shel Yom HaShabbos, the thread of the verse is the flourishing of wickedness in the world, of evil, the absolute destruction of that evil, and then tzadik atoma yifrach, then a tzadik blossoms outward like a tama. Remez lavayas hashabbos. That's sort of the second birth, the rebirth, so to speak, of the world. For who said chasim astash vayichulu b'milas la'asis? Because it says the pasuk is a strange pasuk. We don't know, take notice that kol shebar lekim la'asos. I got to create everything in order to make. So usually it means the la'asos means about oneself, but here it means the la'asos the ma'isa hashabbos. Because katisham v'zeu yifrach b'yom of tzadik v'al shmita shmita. This will continue till the great Yovel, when all the natural kohos of the world will cease to exist. But there is an end to the world, and that's called Yovel. So it's very interesting. We teach the word of la'olam as meaning eternal. The word eternal in this context is Olam HaShovel means eternal for us is also with a certain marked end to it. So you have two cycles. You have a small cycle where you have weeds growing, and then those weeds come to an end, and then out sprouts what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wanted. And then there's another concept of Olam HaShel Yovel, which is an end of all ends. It's interesting. The Rav Chaya sort of explains why is that necessary. What's the point of it? He says, "Ke'ein adava elo tachlis." Everything has to have endless to us means the same as meaningless. It's not going any place. It's not doing anything. It's not headed for anywhere. So certainly from our perspective, endlessness is not something that translates positively. So there is a tachlis, and that's called the Yovel HaGadol. Masha'amah halos Hashem Hashemayim Lubam Roimim Kutziv v'nivro v'yimidim ad olam v'amah od yasar atal mechoneh v'atim talam v'ed enin yana g'sigz v'em nitzchiyas. It doesn't mean they will be there eternal. Ala mitzat tokev bri'osam v'chozek harma matokev amakein shim ruyim lamed lalam v'shalei smotu klal at sheyigze v'tul mishavram. So the sense of the pasuk Kutziv v'nivro v'yimidim la'ad la'olam means internally they're capable of staying around forever. It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu imposed on them a sort of a tachlis and so on and so forth that they are not lasting forever. Then he explains Umipnei Shaloi Tovin Kasida Vanog Azel Shal Shmitas Olam Yelech Alo Tachlis, that a person shouldn't think because he says there's a remnant here for Shmita, for this big Shemitah of 6,000 and 1,000, we would think this will just keep going eternally and has no tachlis. L'kach ha-pasha m'sayemes b'nunin b'tchilo v'sayf. L'vaya k'yelech ha-reyev l'agadlo sh'elof dor. V'ya oylom batl v'yachsa l'tohu v'vohu. So there will be a bitl in the world there'll be a bitl of the world its entirety at that great nun. Yes.
Rabbi, is the Rebbe Chai saying it's supposed to be seven cycles of 7,000 years with 1,000 years of Sabbath in each one of those seven cycles?
That's what it seems like. I'm not sure if it has to trace exactly that amount of years, but certainly there's a cycle that lead to the big cycle. So why is it not upside down? Ki kishem shemichtav ha'ois ebitikunai karoa merakim adava. Just like when you write a letter in the right way, it indicates existence and being and so on and so forth. So too he says when it's written upside down, ken hivav ois ebitulei misidur roi meral bitul dava v'charvonai. It shows us something as charev. Very simply, we have Hashem was hafach estaim. V'amar kosev hamati karm leida shahafcham ba'apay. V'ksiv alkein lo nir bar ma'aretz ha'moit harim b'lev yomim. V'yevel ha'gadlo she'is moititu ha'harim v'ashamayim v'adjasa yisodom. V'til chazik inyan hoya nunim shtayim. So basically the two nunim indicate it's sort of speak the outer framework that frames the world. Our world headed towards Nun. Mipnei shasidna shvayim v'aretz shizchat shachayevel, and being that they will be nitzchat shachayevel, yitach leimer ke'alken ho'yishtei Nunim. So the Rebbe Mechai is saying that there's going to be a tov avo and a rebirth. Very, very not clear if this is a rebirth or a new birth. I don't know. He says, yitach leimer ke'alken ho'yishtei Nunim, that maybe the two Nunim, one is Meramis on the Churban, one is on rebirth. B'yizkeloshen v'ayhi achakol nun v'nun l'hoyrus al havaya achakol yevo yevo. That is a new creation. V'zeh soida nun shechosa nimzmiris ha-mizonikotil ha-david v'fish oistun tera nefila. And the Gemara says in Brachos, the reason why you don't say nun in Asher is because nun is is the fila, and then semach is ochal leiflim. Ubayevul osed lipo v'yachta toyevavo. Okay, levayas osed ischar shachar yevul, ramaz anun achakach. Shama semach is ochal leiflim, iske skifach and a filix, and iske kanavayach anunim. I want to talk a little bit, again, we're talking about awesome things, we're talking about things that are really, really beyond us, but if we're talking about it, and if we're going to have a higher order in this personal chumash, it has to have some sort of havana. What's this game over here? Mela, the Shemitah one, we still understand. But what about the Yovel one? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu will totally destroy the world, bring it back to Tovo, and recast the world again. Now, I'm not sure if the same people will play again. Does he mean that there's supposed to be an even greater devastation coming back? The mashmos in it is not. So the question is, well, so what's the point of this game? Like, bored housewives redecorate their house every few years simply because they're bored. But what does it mean by Kadosh Baruch Hu? What's the point of it? So I think the mahalach goes like this. Be'emes, in terms of the fact that there's a kavana for Brias Ha'olam, we're kind of caught in two places. Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu's abilities, Mitzad HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof, a temporary act is against that. In other words, what does it mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu did something for X amount of years? It doesn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ein Sof, and therefore his Pulish Ein Sof. Mitzideinu, Ein Sof is meaningless. Like you said before, tachlis can only be understood in a span of beginning and end. End is tachlis, beginning is echatimtza. There is no way which we can really deal with eternally. I once heard there's a verse from the Baal HaTanya. He says, Gemara says, "My atbet lilavdai amar birchan ad sheyivlus yisosechem lo madai dai dai." The HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you blessing without end. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Yechon says, it means you'll get tired of saying enough. It's strange because usually the Gemara tends to amplify the pasuk. Pasuk says 10 makis, they darshan 10 times 5, 10 times 100, 10 times this. Everything gets darshaned. The Torah is usually understood as kind of being a kernel, and you can darshan and expand it and expound it. Here we're going the opposite direction. The Torah starts off by the pasuk says you will have an endless amount, an infinite amount of bracha, and the Be'echa says until you get tired of saying enough. I get tired long before infinity of saying the words enough, and that's pashut. So he explains that infinity for a human being is destructive, not constructive. We can't deal with something that's infinite. A person who has some money is happy, a person who has a lot of money is happy. A person who can always put his credit card in, his debit card, and get money out, there's no, so what do I do with it? I don't know. Infinity is not a number that suits people, and they don't deal with it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says infinite means it will come in increments that are limited. You know, I got an awful lot and I said die. No, that's act one. I got a lot more and I said die. I got a lot more and I said die. Each and every one is a clearly bounded segment. So just like a person, for instance, does well in school and has a very good job, and then a year later he gets a promotion, and a year later he's made a partner, and so on. Each one of these are very big brachas, and it may keep going on and on and on, but it needs to be bounded. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad himself needs to express himself infinitely. Not, I don't know the word need, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu express himself infinitely. To us, meaning lies in something that has clear segments and clear boundaries. So he says, and then Rabbeinu Chaya finishes with Gdeilus. So that's why, just to finish the thought, that's why we have this Yovel, everything goes back to Tohu, and then the Bria goes on again. It's very well possible that that's the Pshat. For us, we need to see very clear ends. For HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what we need to describe is endlessness. And this is how we get the two together. A series of olamos. Each one is a complete world. It has a beginning and a total end, and then a whole new beginning, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is endless. Where our neshamas come into this? Will we feel the continuity or not? I have no idea. I don't know. That's a what?
Maybe this is any way connected to the midrash from Bereishis that Hashem was creating worlds and destroying.
Now, very possible that creates with that. I don't know. That seems to be the same sense. But over there, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. But over there, the emphasis in the Chazal is that over there seems to be something wrong with the world. Here, I'm not sure. Here, it seems to have gotten to some perfection, and yet a perfection requires an end to it. I don't know. Okay, lo alavavas in yezer bo b'teira senat sufim super mitzvah shmita vayirvul shem mitzvah kuvalis. He says to teach us this. In other words, to get a sense of this, the Torah gives us a it gives us a flavor of it in the psukim of in the mitzvahs of Shemitah Yovel. So when a person and let's just understand a point here, a lot of there's knowledge that we have that logically is structured, and I can tell you A, B, C, D, and F. There's knowledge that's gained from experience where I intuitively extrapolate outwards. I meet somebody, I talk to somebody, and his eyes are shifting, not looking at me, and then he doesn't keep his word. And then a second time it happens, I intuitively extrapolate that type of posture, that type of facial expression associates itself with a lie. I may not even be aware why it is that this person sort of lends himself, you know, a person might even say, I don't know why, but I just have a feeling this guy's not honest. Somebody with a little more perception will say, well, you know, I've had experience with people who can't look straight in the face, and they usually tend to be dishonest. And so on. To do it with Seichel would say, well, a person naturally is reluctant to look at the person because he's afraid of his reaction and so on and so forth. But there's a level where, from experience, I can intuit outwards. The mitzvahs that deal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inyanim that are very deep, and not everyone is privy to exact description of it. L'mashal, like the inyan of the Shemitah Yovel, we're talking about the very deep inyanim and so on. But the Torah gives us mitzvahs that the flavor of the mitzvah sort of feeds on it. Everything must come to an end. I work the field, plow, plant, weed, put a lot of effort, and then it's over. And it stops. And then in a big picture, I mean, I've worked hard, I've bought a whole bunch of fields together, I have a whole corporation, I have an estate and everything, and then everything gets dissolved and put back into the original state again, and start all over again in everything. The servants I've bought, slaves I've bought, and so on. A person, even if the person is not conscious of what it is, but the sense is nothing lasts forever. Everything returns back to where it started from in the beginning, and a person gains a certain intuitive insight into the cycles of the world. And that's what he says here. In order to sort of give our hearts a feel for it. So Torah gave us Shemitah Yovel to give us that feel, that flavor. That's in that sense, Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. A person gets a sense where week after week we work and we create and we accomplish and we do, and then there's something that we were working for. The idea that your Mishatav Rosh Hashanah Yochel b'Shabbos imparts on a person a sense of a olam haba, of Yom Shekulo Tov Umnuchah Hayolamim. That's something that you pick up to whatever dag of seichel, but even the person has no das, no seichel, the sense is there. I just, one of the regish laden descriptions in Yiddish, somebody, there was a Yid, Reb Chaim Brim, Chana Vracha, in Meir Sharm, a very, very big person, Talmud Chaznish, Reb Skarab, and so on, Chassidish Yid, but he came home once, and he wanted to tell his wife of Psura about somebody who had passed away, and my brother was standing there, and he told her that Schwartz has gone home for Shabbos, has come home for Shabbos. That's sort of the sense of things that people have when they live with a Shabbos, and the whole week revolves around Shabbos, then that becomes the metaphor for loss of love. It's supposed to be that way. Okay, we'll hold it here.